We talked last week, if you weren't here last week, we talked about why does life have to hurt? Do you remember that? We said that, you know, life, sometimes it hurts because we love deeply, sometimes we have the wrong goal, and we got to remind ourselves we live in a world of sin. So I kind of gave you the 30-second synopsis of last week, but it leads so well into this week what I wanted to talk to you about, because we all face struggles, right? We all have difficult times, and what I wanted to focus on this week is just taking some time and talking about what is it we need to learn in the midst of the struggles. So let me ask you this today, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand or anything like that, but are you listening today and you're going through a struggle? You're going through a situation, you don't know how you got into it, why you got into it, it isn't fair, it isn't right. The question is not, why am I going through this? The real question should be this: what am I learning from God in the midst of this struggle that I'm going through? Because if we miss what God is trying to teach us, we just have to learn it all over again. So turn with me in the book, in the Bible, to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read two, well, our kind of our context or will be these two verses, but then I'm going to jump around a little bit. But here's what I want us to catch. Eventually, I'm going to share with you five things that I just kind of extracted from that we need to know about struggles in life, because struggles are inevitable. Amen? Struggles are real. You will face them. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And we need to know something about this. Otherwise, when we struggle and don't seek God in the middle of it, what we end up doing is whining and complaining. We end up blaming others and not learning anything, only to have to go through it again. How many of you guys would like to repeat high school over and over and over and over and over? Well, most people would not. You know, eventually you want to grow beyond that. So the growth is where the challenge is really at. So struggles are real. And have you ever asked yourself this question? Because I've done this. Why is it that God lets me struggle? Have you ever done that? Why do I have to struggle? Why? If God's so good, here, let me rephrase it and just ask it this way. If God's so good, then why do bad things happen? If God's so good, then why is it that I'm having to go through this challenge or this season or this, you know, fill in the blank? And so I've asked myself those questions, and I think a good place to start is with somebody who understands these struggles. The Word of God is full of people. This is, by the way, this is not a fiction book, the Word of God. This is not stories that were written down that thought, well, gee, these may be neat. These are love letters that were written to us from God, penned through the hands of different men and women of God. And 1 Peter introduces us to a man. Peter wrote this. Peter shares with us about struggles. And here's what he has to say to us. It's in your outlines. It's up on the screen there, but let me read it to you. He says this after he's learned a few things. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." He basically says, don't be shocked. Don't be stressed about why you're facing a hard time. Everybody's going to face them. But then he goes on to say, "But instead rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Now, the reason I think this verse is powerful is for this reason. Here you have a man by the name of Peter who's gone through a lot of challenges in life, and yet through all the struggles that he's faced in life, he says, don't be shocked, don't be shocked at all the struggles. Instead, focus on the right thing. He said, don't focus on the fiery ordeal. He said, instead, rejoice. Now, that sounds weird, doesn't it? That'd be like me saying, don't worry about the bad report you just got. Just be glad, you know, rejoice in the Lord. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, it starts with the fact that it's a choice. It seems like an oxymoron. You know what I mean? Don't be surprised by the hard times, but rejoice. An oxymoron is when you take two completely opposite words and slam them together, like icy hot. They don't go together, but yet we sell it in stores. Jumbo shrimp, you know, that just, it just doesn't make any sense. And I got a bunch more oxymorons, but I'm not going to use them because the Holy Spirit told me not to. So I started going down my list and he's like, why don't you just stop there? But there's a lot of fun ones out there. You can go Google them and find them for yourself. But here he says, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeals, but rejoice. I don't know if I can do that. God, I don't know if I can. When I'm going through an ordeal, when I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through a struggle, My first go-to is not to rejoice. My first go-to is to complain. That's mine. Or worry. Or become afraid. Whatever that means. And he says, no, you've got to change your thinking. So I'm here today to tell you, church, that we've got somebody from the Word of God that says, no matter what you're going through, make sure you're focusing on the right thing. Not the fiery ordeal, but start rejoicing in the Lord. Because when you start partaking in the sufferings of Christ, the Word of God says, it says that's when his glory is revealed. Notice his glory wasn't revealed when everything was all flowery and everything was going great. His glory was revealed in the middle of the suffering. So there's a purpose to this. That we need to look at. Are you saying, Pastor, that God creates suffering or God creates trials or God creates, fill in the blank, just so that I can learn lessons? Well, I won't say that he creates them. I would say that in this world you will have trials and tribulations. He told us that, right? And he said in the middle of those, you can be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. In other words, when you face these hard times, and life is difficult, he says, I will do the best thing possible. I will teach you. I will lead you. So, if you are here today, and maybe you're on one end of the spectrum, and you got some bad news, or you're arguing with your spouse, or there's a relational problem, and it's you would call that a struggle. But maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum, and you lost a loved one. Maybe you've gotten a bad report from a doctor, let's say. Those struggles may be completely different, but for you, whatever it is you're going through, that's your struggle, right? And he says that in the midst of your struggles, if you and I can learn to choose to rejoice, to invite Jesus into the presence of that, he says, my glory will be revealed in your life. And that brings a joy from the inside out. So one thing's for sure, we're all going to have setbacks in life. So he says, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked by this. Don't think it's strange. It's normal that this would happen. He says, it's not abnormal to struggle. So I would be willing to bet if I asked you to raise your hand to this, which I'm not, but have you ever gone through a struggle? Are you currently going through a struggle? We would all have to raise our hand, right? Because we've all faced struggles. And I can almost guarantee you there's going to be struggles that are yet to come. He says, don't focus on the external. Make a choice, a decision to focus on the inside, because your ability, my ability to navigate through struggles is what's going to determine the outcome. That's what's going to determine the outcome. Some people go through life and struggle, and some people, they go through their struggles and they come out of it better. Then there's others who go through the same struggle, but they come out bitter. What's the difference? Well, the difference is what they chose to believe, where they placed their faith. They both went through a fiery ordeal, but what you do with that struggle determines whether you're going to get better or whether you're going to get bitter, and the choice will always be yours and mine. That's why I put in your outlines there, that first little bullet. It's not the struggle that determines your success or failure. It's what you do during the struggle. It's what you do. So whatever you're going through right now, I am by no means saying that your struggle, this is no problem, you suck it up, buttercup. I wouldn't say that. It hurts. It's real. It's difficult. All the more reason to lean into Jesus so that he can embrace you and heal your heart. You see, while God cares about what you're going through, what he's more concerned about is what you're going to allow him to do in and through you, okay? You can go through difficult situations, but are you letting God use you in the middle of your difficult situation? God cares about that, but he wants to work through us. So what do we need to know? What do we need to know about struggles? Well, let me just give you five things that I kind of had the Lord put on my heart about struggles, because we all face them. Number one, write this down. Know this, that there is good in the struggle. There's always going to be good in the struggle. So when you see yourself in a situation, usually what happens is all we can see is what's wrong, right? Isn't that correct? Every time we face a trial or a temptation or we end up in a bad place, all we can see is what's wrong. But when you're going through a time where there's a struggle, a trial, there's always some good in it. You might say, well, I don't see that. By definition, isn't trial a bad thing? Well, yes, it's bad that you're going through it, but there's always something good in the midst of the struggle. You don't believe me? Ask any mother here who's given birth to a child, okay? Moms that are here and you have given birth, how many of you on your first child got a little concerned when labor kicked in, right? And you get worried. Now, I cannot speak from experience because I've never, you know, had to go through that. Thank you, Jesus. But grace be upon you ladies that did. But when you were giving birth, you know, and you went into labor, things started to change, right? And I can only go by what I've heard said. I live with a woman who went through childbirth, and I could listen to what she's going through. And my job when she was giving birth was ice chips, okay? Because I was kind of like the glorified cheerleader. And when a woman's in labor, the guy can never do anything right, okay? Just want you to know that right now. And I pick on her for it. So, you know, I sat there with ice chips. I think I fed her some ice chips. But, you know, like, you doing okay? Everything all right? Stupid questions to ask. She's giving birth, but I don't know what else to ask. So I start eating ice chips. And and she kind of look at me, and I'm eating more. Finally, she goes, quit eating those ice chips in my ear. You know, you're driving me nuts. And I thought, well, I don't know what to do, you know, so I don't understand all this, but I do know this. I know that for every description that a woman gives, when they say, oh, it's painful, but, you know, it's not pleasant, it's hard, there's a process, there's a labor pain, they call it. There's something good in the middle of that because life is now been given. It's been birthed. You see, that was a struggle, and though the pain was real, and there was a process you had to go through, a trial, whatever you want to call it, there was something good in the middle of that. I've never heard and have never seen a mother who has given birth, and when they put the baby in the mom's arms, the mom goes, I can't believe the pain you caused me. You know, you were just horrible. It was miserable. It was terrible. You know, you should, I cannot believe you. You know what I mean? And no mother's done that. Every mother, once they've gone through that process, it's almost as if, I'm not saying ladies, this just went away, but it's almost as if it's like the pain that was there once the new life comes. It's not that the pain's forgotten, but you see the good in the middle. When you're going through a struggle and life is painful and things are difficult, I want you to know this. Sometimes it's just simply because God is getting ready to birth something new in your life. He's getting ready to birth something new in your spiritual walk. He's getting ready to birth something new in your job. He's getting ready to birth something new in your marriage. But if you quit, ladies, have you ever wanted to quit through the pregnancy? Just, I'm done. I'm tapping out. You can't do that, can you? You can't. It's a process that you go through. And so if you will trust the Lord in the process and lean into Him, you'll see that no matter what struggle you're going through, there is good in the midst of the struggle. Now, don't you just wish there was some kind of a pill or a magical wand that you could buy? You know, Amazon.com, give me my magical, and make all the trials go away. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, if we could create something like that, we could make a lot of money with that. But it doesn't exist. And it doesn't exist. And so when we face trials, instead of trying to ignore them, avoid them, deny them, if we will just trust the Lord and say, Lord, I'm aware of this situation. Will you please show me the good in it? He'll do it. He'll reveal it to you, but we have to go looking for it. And nobody likes struggles, do we? I brought up this bag with me, and the only reason I brought it is I have these candies in my office. We went on a vacation. It was a very windy road we were on, and the guy handed me some candies, and they're ginger chews is what they are, and he says, if you get road sick, eat one of these, and it'll help settle your stomach, because ginger is supposed to settle your stomach. So my stomach was fine. I just liked candy, so I kept taking his candy. I like this so much, I've got 200 of these babies shipped to me, and I've got a couple kids in the church who love these candies, and the problem is if you eat too much ginger, can I say this? It makes you a little gassy, okay? So I make sure to give it to all the kids. And I become fun with the parents, right? You know, I'll have them come and say, thanks, Pastor, for giving me the candy, you know. And the kids love it. But here's the thing. Not this particular package, but the one previous. Have you ever tried to struggle to open one of these packages and you can't? I mean, this package right here. I did everything. And now they've got... There's an easy way to do this. They got a perforation right there now, but they never had it before. And so this is about a year ago. I got one of these bags in, and I started pulling on it. I mean, I literally put my foot on it and I was pulling on it. I could not get it, the struggle paper. And I thought, somebody, somewhere, FedEx, UPS, USPS, I don't know. Somebody's going, you know what? Let's wrap it in this super heavy duty, can't rip it thing and just watch people squirm, you know. Here's the thing. There's something valuable inside here, but I can't get to it because it's wrapped in struggle paper is what I call it. And sometimes in life, we miss that there's something valuable inside because all we see is the struggle paper. We go through difficult seasons in life, and I want you to know this. You have something. You are a son and daughter of God, and there is something valuable. He's got a purpose for your life, a plan for your life, vision, direction. You are valuable to God. But a lot of times in life, we don't go search for it, or if we do, we run into struggle paper and we give up, and we don't want to find the value, the hidden treasure or gem on the inside of our marriage, or of our calling, or our job. There was a gentleman who told a story. He said, if you took a diamond and you put it in a brown paper bag, he says, you could take that brown paper bag, crinkle it up, throw it right out in front of Hy-Vee or Walmart, let's say. I'm just picking a couple stores that are local. And you'll watch people walk right by that bag. They won't pick it up. They won't pick it up. Or if they do pick it up, they'll throw it right in the garbage. Or some people will just kind of kick it to the side to get it out of their way. The whole time not knowing there's a valuable diamond inside. But as soon as somebody were to pick it up and look inside, to their amazement, there would be something of great value hidden inside that brown paper bag. I want you to know that no matter what struggle you go through, you are valuable and there's a diamond inside. You may think, well, I just feel like an old wrinkled up paper bag. But what Jesus sees is the valuable diamond that's on the inside. And if you'll trust him to lead you through whatever struggle it is you're going through, you will find out that there is good on the inside. But you have to be willing to recalibrate. What's your standard in life for living? Is it the word of God or is it the world? You know, and I think if I asked you, most people would tell me the word of God, but I'm talking about when you're all alone and life gets real and kind of, you know, is God the first thing you go to? Because if not, you just have to recalibrate. You know, we have smartphones now. These smartphones can do so much. I mean, back in the 80s, if I had one of these, Lord help me, I'd have been in trouble is what I'd have been. But these things are just mini computers in our hands, right? And I'm not pro or anti. I'm just saying it is what it is. And on my phone, there's a GPS system. What did we do before GPS? You know, I had this knack for knowing people's phone numbers. I still remember a lot of old phone numbers from when I was a kid, my friends' phone numbers. I just could remember them. But I found out now, I don't know people's phone numbers because when I call you, I push your name and it calls you. Or if you call me, it tells me your name and I don't know the phone numbers. GPS. I'm not bad with directions. I'm still good with directions. I know my dad talks about having a bent compass, but I got mine from my mom, okay? So I can do pretty good with directions, but I still rely on GPS. Maybe a little too much. And it was Dubuque years ago, first service. The couple was here. I did their wedding for them. And we were in Dubuque, and I did a wedding. And I'm not familiar with Dubuque, so when I got there, we did the wedding at a church, and then the reception was going to be at another location. I went up for the weekend. I was by myself, so, you know, and I don't mind that. I have a good time with myself, you know what I mean? We drive around and go to town and find restaurants, you know. I'm my own best company in those moments. And so I decided, well, I'll leave the wedding. They're going to take photos. I'll go drive around, find things in the town. And eventually I needed to go to the reception, so I typed in the name of the reception hall or whatever it was. And GPS started talking to me. And don't you just love the voice they put on there? Those GPS people are so kind. Boop. In 100 feet, turn left. Why, thank you, I will. You know? They're just very kind, you know? Or even if you make a mistake, you know, you need to turn at the next thing. Recalibrate, you know, all that stuff. And so I'm driving through Dubuque, and I'm heading to this reception, and it says, you have arrived at your location. The only problem is, my location was in a field in front of a water tower. And that was it. And it says, you have arrived. And I said, where? You know, this is not the reception hall. So I ended up having to call the couple and I said, listen, I don't know where I'm at, but I'm in a field with a water tower. How do I get to where you're at? And they're like, well, which water tower? Which field, you know? And eventually I said, just give me the address and I'll figure it out. I put my faith so much in the GPS to get me where I needed to go, and it ended up out in a field. Now, having said that, GPS is pretty cool, right? GPS is pretty accurate. GPS these days does a great job, but GPS is never to take place of the voice of the Lord. GPS, computer, technology, the world, fill in the blank, should never, ever take the place of the voice of the Lord in your life. So my question is this, I bring it back. What is your standard? Is your standard the Word of God and the voice of His Holy Spirit? Or is the standard what I'm feeling today? Or if I want to? It's about making sure we recalibrate for the right season. See, when we do that, we'll discover that though we may struggle in life, God always works things out for good. Romans, up on the screen, chapter 8, verse 31. Let's read that one together. You ready? Go. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, then nobody and nothing can be in between you and be in your way. And God will not allow suffering to touch us, by the way, unless it first passes through His fingers. Well, why would He let that even happen? We're going to get into that in just a minute. But we have to start with this. Know this, there's good in the struggle. Number two, write this down. God's love includes struggles. God's love includes struggles. Everything that God does in our lives, it's going to be based upon the character of God. And according to the Word of God, God is what? He's love, it says. His goal is to disciple us. And here's the catch. Sometimes when He's discipling, it includes discipline. And we don't like that. There's nobody here that likes to be disciplined. I never liked being grounded. I never liked being spanked when I was a kid. I never liked receiving it. I never really liked dishing it out. However, I'd rather dish it out than receive it, right? We're all the same way. And so but what happens is this. He says He wants to disciple us, but when we hear the first word about discipline, we're like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I don't want to do that. But here's the thing. God's love is included in the midst of all of these struggles. God's love is always being revealed to us. No matter what struggle you're going through, God is wanting to reveal Himself. Hebrews 12:6 says, for those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. He disciplines. Sometimes we have a warped sense of discipline, maybe because of our upbringing, and maybe it's because of our family or of origin. But you see, God's love is different. It's one that comes and sets you up for success, as we'll see in a moment. But God is always wanting to reveal Himself in such a way that you and I see His love. So if you're struggling right now, you got to start asking yourself this question. If I know that God, if there's good in the struggle, where can I see God's love in the middle of it? Where do I see God's love in the midst of my struggle? These are lessons that you learn, and sometimes you learn them in the most difficult places. It was 1995, 1996. Lisa and I were at Bible College in Dallas, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that out there. And I don't know if that's going to be good or bad, but we'll see. And I worked at a hotel, and Lisa and I, she worked at another hotel, a little bit lesser one, and we always joke about it because her hotel's better or my hotel's better. And the truth is I had to admit, hers is better. It's right in the middle of downtown. Mine was on the outskirts. We went to visit it 20 years later. They turned my hotel into a nursing home. So I don't get any more, you know, I can't win that fight. But we're in Dallas, and I worked at this hotel. When I worked at this hotel, I loved this job. I loved it. I was a glorified babysitter is all I was. I took care of the people, but I was there by myself. I was down in the South, they call them engineers. So I got hired to be an engineer at a hotel. I couldn't wait to call my parents and say, guess who just got hired as an engineer? And all that means is maintenance guy. But I didn't tell them that because I wanted it to sound good, right? And I loved this job. Now, I you know, if your batteries ran out went dead in your room, you called me. If your toilet got plugged up, unfortunately, you called me. If something was broken, I'd come either replace it or fix it if I could. You know, and I learned some things. I just enjoyed the job, but it's because I enjoyed people. And so we did our first year of Bible college, and we came home for Christmas. And so I put in my leave. I want some time off. You know, I'd only been there a year. And he's like, my boss said, as long as you can get your shift covered, we're good. I'm like, okay. So I got my shift covered. I came home, And that was the year I preached for the very first time. Scared me to death is what it did. But I went back feeling accomplished and found out that I was fired. I got fired from my job. And I said, I don't understand, why are you firing me? I said, I requested the time and I did what you told me to do, and then you fired me. And they said, well, your shift didn't get covered. I said, oh, no, it did. I said, I talked to so-and-so and so-and-so, and they said they got it covered. And he said, well, when we talked to them, they said that they couldn't do it and they couldn't cover it. And so my boss had to come in to cover that shift. He wasn't a bit too happy about that, and so they fired me. Now, I was upset. I was hurt. I was angry, and I was struggling. I mean, I'm going to Bible college to learn about Jesus and all this, and right now I'm ticked off, and it's almost as if God's going, so do you see what's going on here? You know, you're learning a few things, and I struggled. Here's what happened, though. Though I struggled, one of the greatest lessons that I learned was not necessarily from a book that I read, but it was through a life experience. In that struggle, it just so happened the assistant general manager was leaving to go to another hotel, and he said, Jim, I want to take you with me, because I like how you work with people. And you would have thought at that point, I would have been like, yes, great, I feel good. But here was my response: fine, whatever. And that's how I felt. I was kind of down, because all I could see is the job I loved that was taken away from me. And what I missed was the testimony that somebody was leaving and saying, I recognize in you something I don't see in other people, and I want you with me. I completely missed that. I missed that God was providing for me. I missed that God was taking care of me financially. I missed all of it. All I could see is I don't get to have fun anymore. I don't get to have the job I wanted. That's all I could see. Now, fast forward that a little bit. I worked there about 6 to 8 months, and I had to work this through in my heart. Jesus taught me some lessons about that. And it just so happened that a position opened up back at the hotel where I worked. And my boss called and he said, I'd love for you to come back. We miss you. But I'll tell you when that phone call came. It didn't come when I was struggling. It came when I learned the lesson that I needed to. When I looked for the good in the struggle, and when I started saying, God, what are you trying to teach me? As soon as he revealed that to me, then things started to turn around. Now, am I sharing that story so that if you're struggling and you just learn this lesson, you'll get everything you want? No, I had no guarantee of getting that other job back. My point is simply this. When you're struggling, there's always going to be good in it, and God's love will be revealed, but I just couldn't see it. I couldn't see that God was providing for me and protecting me. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians. Let me read this to you, and this is out of the Living Bible translation. It says, he is the one who so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships so that we can pass on the same help and comfort that God has given to us. When you're going through a struggle and God reveals truth to you, he doesn't do it just so that you can feel good and remain where you're at. He does that for you, to you, through you, so that you can pass it on to others so they can have that hope. You know, I joke about graduating high school. Man, once I graduate high school, I'm never going to have to take any more tests. Little did I know that I'd rather be back in high school taking their test, because the ones in the real world and in life were much more frequent and were much more difficult. You know, I had great high school teachers. I had great college teachers. We had great leaders when we were working with the dean of families at our school. But as great as those teachers were, the greatest teachers are not the ones who taught me how much they know. The greatest teachers were the ones that taught me from their wounds and their scars. It was the ones that taught me from their struggles. A teacher could get up and they could talk about the book of Acts, and here's what the Holy Spirit has to say, and here's what you need to learn. And I could learn something from their head knowledge, but I'll tell you what I remembered more than anything is when I sat in the office with the dean of families and we started talking about hardships in life, and he shared with me that he's human and he hurts too. All of a sudden, he invited me in, and I learned some of the greatest lessons in those moments. You see, when you get in the presence of God, he'll reveal his great love for you. But number three, write this down. Know this, that struggles and tests, they will increase your faith. When you're going through a difficult time, it only increases your faith. Here's a scripture that we love to read, but we don't like to apply. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. A verse that we can love to quote, but we can tell people that are going through a hard time, oh, count it all joy, my brother. You know, but when we're the ones that are struggling, do we count it all joy? Do we take our own advice? But here's the reality. When you're going through struggles, those struggles you go through, what they do is they increase your faith. They increase your faith in God. They increase your faith. That testing process, what it does is it develops character. If my faith remains untested, then I don't generate faithful fruit, if you will. And when God tests my faith, what he does is he activates it. And tests, when you go through tests in life, what they do is they help you to become productive. Don't let them scare you. The story of a little boy who was taking a test, and I don't know how you are at tests. Some people get really nervous about them. Some people love them. But this young man was nervous. He's, you know, I don't know, eighth grade. And he comes in, and he sits down, and the teacher lays the test down on his desk. There's some information on the board. And the young man says, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can handle this test. And he started to panic as the teacher handed out the test. And he asked the teacher, he said, is there any way I can get out of this test? And the teacher said, only if you die right now, right? Because you're going to go through this. And she recognized that he was panicked. She recognized that he was worrying and that he was fearful. And the teacher said, listen, let me ask you a question, she said to the student. What's 3 times 4? And he said, 12. And she said, good. She goes, and by the way, that question's on the test. So you know you got one right already. So let me ask you another question, the teacher said. She said, what's X? And she goes, X is on the board up there. Do you see that? What's X? And he goes, well, X equals 10. Okay. So then if I were to ask you, what's 12 times X? What am I asking you? Are you asking me what's 12 times 10? So what is it? It's 120. She said, you've already answered 3 questions. She says, you've got this. See, what the teacher was doing in that moment was recognizing somebody who was fearful, somebody who was worried, and came along and tested them, not in order to set them up for failure, but in order to set them up for success. When we go through tests and trials, many times we feel like it's just another test to knock us down. Sometimes we feel like, what did I do to deserve this? But sometimes we miss the greatest gift of all, and it's what we learn in the midst of the test. What it will do is it will increase our faith. Maybe you're going through a struggle right now, and you find that hard to believe. It's only when you place your faith in God that you realize he's the only one that can strengthen you. He's the only one that can encourage you. The trials aren't going to go away. So what needs to give? What needs to change? What needs to give is we need to lean into Jesus. And as we do that, he can increase our faith. It doesn't remove the struggles, but it changes you in the midst of them. Here's number 4. Write this down. Struggles in life will prompt us to change. They will prompt us to change. Let me read to you Proverbs 20, verse 30 from 2 different translations. One of them is in your outline. But from the New American Standard, it says this. I was reading this verse, and I kind of scratched my head and thought, what? It says, stripes that wound scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts. I don't know about you, but when I read that in my Bible in the New American Standard, I went, what? You know, it's kind of like, does it make sense? So I looked up in another translation. This is the Good News Translation, which is really a paraphrase is what it is. And it says, it's the same verse, worded differently. Sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Isn't that true? Sometimes we're not willing to change until something becomes greater. Isn't it true for the most part, that we resist change? People resist it until the pain of remaining the same is greater than the effort of changing. You know, one of God's most effective tools to increase our motivation beyond just good intentions is pain. It's not that he makes it happen, but he'll allow it so that he can motivate us to move. Y'all have heard about how much I love to go to the dentist, right? I do not. I don't like the dentist. I've had bad memories from ever since I was a kid. But you know what motivates me usually, or at least it used to? You know what motivates me to go to the dentist? Pain. Yeah? You'd say, well, why don't you just go get regular checkups? Because he might find a problem. Well, if he finds a problem, can he fix it? Absolutely. With a drill. Therefore, I look in the mirror. I think we're good. I know nothing about dentistry. I know nothing about cavities. But yet somehow I've become an expert in this field. And I am good until what? Until pain hits that area. Then I need somebody who specializes in that. See, I can wait and I can wait and I can wait. But I learned this over the years. It used to be pain that drove me there. I've learned this over the years, though. If I would just come into the presence of the dentist at least, you know, 2 or 3 times a year and let him examine my mouth, if he finds something, the effort to fix it is so much less than if I wait until something gets worse. You know what I'm talking about? Let me just repackage that and say it this way. If we would just spend time with Jesus, get into his presence, whether we're struggling or not, and let him reveal to us something that might be going on in our hearts, our minds, our spirit, our life, the effort to change would be so much smaller than if you waited until the pain was so great. See, pain is real. Struggles are real. But we've got to come to this place of allowing God to prompt us to change. Don't wait for it to be pain that causes you to change. Let it be something that you say, Lord, I want this to be a part of my life. I want to learn. I want to grow. Don't be the person that drives a car. Maybe you have a car outside and one of the warning lights is lit up. Anyone have that on their car? Lit up. And you ignore the light. Have you ever done that? You know? Or your way of fixing it was to unscrew the bulb. Does that fix the problem? Nope. Put some duct tape over it. Does that fix the problem? No, it just removes the warning light. And what happens is if we ignore those warnings, then things just get worse. And it causes more damage. In the midst of our struggles, let God change our hearts. And let him change our lives. Here's the last thing we need to know about struggles, and it's this. Struggles develop character. If you are going through a difficult time right now, know this. Character is being developed. Let me take you back to that scenario with the hotel. I struggled with why I got fired. I struggled with wanting what I wanted but couldn't have it. And it wasn't until the Lord got a hold of me and said, Jim, what are you doing? What are you doing? So what do you think I'm doing? I'm working at this hotel that I don't want to be at when I could be. I started complaining. And it's when the Lord started to teach me and lead me. When I was willing to be open to change. And though I still struggled, the Lord started to show me some things. What it did was it developed character within my life. We've stated this already, but the best classroom in the world is the classroom of struggle. God understands this so well. If you're here today and you're going through a hard time, you've gotten some bad news, sad reports, you're going through a difficult situation, know this, Jesus completely understands. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says this, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Jesus understood what it meant to suffer. He was the Son of God. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to go through any of that. He could have called down angels, rescued them right there in the spot. But Jesus went through all of that for you and for me so that when we struggle, we can learn from him and not be so shocked when a trial pops up, but be willing to say, Lord, what is it that you want to teach me? You see, what makes you valuable isn't that you've suffered. What makes you valuable is what you've learned while you're suffering. It's what you learned. The question in life will be this. What have you learned in the midst of your suffering today? I'm convinced that life consists of 10% is what happens to you, 90% how you respond to it. That's what makes all the difference. And you and I get to choose. You choose what you learn. One of the most beautiful classrooms for learning character is the red hot cauldron of struggles. Don't be afraid of the struggles. Just start asking the right questions. Instead of, Lord, why am I here? Why am I going through this? Why me? Why not them? It isn't fair. Start asking the questions like, Lord, I don't know how I got here, but what do I need to learn? Nothing's got me out of struggles quicker than when I ran to Jesus and said, what are you trying to teach me? Help me learn it fast. Not so fast that I miss the lesson, but fast enough so I can learn and move on. You see, a master, I'll close with this illustration, but a master potter, a guy who works with clay, he will create a piece, a plate, a saucer, a cup, a bowl, or whatever. Whatever it is he wants, he creates it. And what they'll do is this, and I'm not a master potter, I'm not even that great at art, but when I just read an article on it, they were interviewing a guy and he said this, when I create something unique, an individual, he says, what I'll do is here's what I'll do right away, as soon as I'm done, I'll put it right in the oven. And I'll leave it in the oven for X amount of hours. And they said, well, how do you know when it's done? And he says, well, what I do is I pull it out. And I'll just take my finger and I'll just flick the top of the rim, you know. And if I hear a thud, that means there's still water in the clay. It needs some more time in the oven. So I'll put it right back in the oven and I'll let it cook some more. I'll pull it back out a few more hours later and I'll just flick the end of that. There's still that dull noise. Back into the oven it goes. He says, but when I take it out, I know it's done. When I take it out, and finally when I hit it, boom, he said, that thing just sings. He says, just bing, makes a noise. There's a certain unique noise. And he says, then I know that it's done. God is the master potter. He has created you in a unique and individual way. He has deposited within you his giftings and his blessings, and he wants you to become your very best. So what he will do is sometimes he will put you in the fire. What? That doesn't make sense. If he loved me, he wouldn't put me in the fire. No, if he didn't love you, he wouldn't put you in the fire. And the first sign of a storm or rain, you would be completely destroyed. But it's when you get into the fire, there's a solidification that is built within your life. For some of you, you're going through a difficult time right now, and you have more questions than you have answers. You are in the fire. Don't be afraid of the fire. He's building character. He's developing your faith. I remember three people in the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember them? They were literally thrown into a fire. And God protected them in the middle of it. And use them. Maybe you feel like you're in your own personal furnace right now. Would you just trust the Lord? You may say, but the furnace is going to burn me up. No, when God is the author of it, he's not trying to consume anything. He's trying to get to a place where we change on the inside so we understand him more. We trust him more. And so like all of a sudden when he pulls you out, he can go boom and he'll know. When you start singing his praises and when you start worshiping him, when you do like Peter said earlier, he said, don't be surprised at these trials. Instead, rejoice. When you can learn to do that without having all the answers, without figuring out everything, then all of a sudden it says that he'll reveal his great glory and his plan. Why does God let us struggle? Well, it's because it's the fastest way to become a fine and finished piece. But we've got to trust him. And when you do that, he'll complete his will in your life. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that strengthens us. Lord, I thank you that no matter what trial we're going through, you are the author. You know exactly what's going on. Lord, you're the only one that can do anything about it anyway. So Lord, I pray for each and every one of those that are here today and they're going through a struggle. They're going through a situation and they don't know how to handle it or knowing what to do. Lord, today we're going to take your word and apply it and we're going to recenter. We're going to recalibrate. And we're going to fix our eyes on you. Lord, we see what's wrong, but Lord, will you help us see what's right? Lord, we see what's where we feel that brokenness, but Lord, we're asking you to come and to heal that. Lord, develop within us a character that goes beyond whatever struggle we're going through so that when life kind of brushes up against us, it won't hear a resounding thud, but it'll hear something that rejoices in their Creator. In Jesus' name. Amen, church.